Well, this morning I want to begin a sermon series on the book of Acts. And the book of Acts was written by Luke. And as you know, in the Bible, Luke wrote two books. One was the book of Acts. And can anyone tell me what the other book was? It was the book of Luke. That's right. And Paul tells us that Luke was actually a doctor, a physician. And you find that in Colossians 4, verse 14. Verse 14 says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So Luke was also a fellow traveller with the Apostle Paul. And you find that in Acts 28, verse 16. And when he came to Rome, and when we came to Rome, and this is Luke writing, so he's including himself. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. So Luke writes the book of Luke, and he also writes the book of Acts. And those books, he was writing to a man called Theophilus. And Theophilus, he wanted to instruct him about the life of Jesus in the book of Luke, and he wants to instruct him about the life of the church, the early church, in the book of Acts. So Luke 1 verse 3 says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus. So he's addressing the book of Luke to Theophilus, that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. And then if you go to Acts 1 verse 1 and you see Theophilus is mentioned there again. The former account I made, so the former account was the book of Luke. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Now it's thought that Theophilus was a Gentile, who possibly was a Roman official. And Theophilus was fortunate enough for Luke to take an interest in him and for Luke to write those two accounts, the account of the life of Jesus and the account of the work of the Holy Spirit as God worked through the church by his Spirit in the book of Acts. As Luke invested in the life of Theophilus, are you investing in the life of someone else, or maybe a couple of people? We should invest in, if we're married and we've got kids, we can invest in our children. If we've got grandkids, we can invest spiritually into our grandchildren. But is there someone that you're investing in that you might call a Theophilus? Maybe your prayer for the rest of the year might be, Lord, please just give me a Theophilus. Someone that I can share with, someone that I can write to. You never know the power of a written letter to someone, especially the power of a written letter to someone about the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus. Lord, give me a Theophilus that I might disciple at this time. Well, it's thought that the book of Acts was written between 61 and 64 A.D., and if you can think, all those, 1900 years ago, more than 1900 years ago, both the book of Luke and the book of Acts was written, and it's still bearing fruit today. I would be absolutely sure that Luke wouldn't have known that his account would have become part of the scriptures, which is again influencing people today almost or over 1900 years ago. One person, Luke, taking the time to write to another person. And what fruit the Gospel of Luke and what fruit the book of Acts has brought throughout the centuries and throughout the ages. I was at a conference, as you know, last week, and one of my subjects was warming the pew or winning the lost. And you can stay in church and warm the pew on a Sunday morning, and you can forget about going out on a Monday to win the lost. And a lady came up to me and she was very excited. I think she was in her 50s. And she wanted to tell me her story. And she said, when I was in year 11 and 12, I sat next to a girl that was an atheist. And this lady who spoke to me, she was a witness to the girl that was an atheist. But when year 12 came, this hardened atheist left as a hardened atheist. And she didn't see her for years. But one day, the lady that was talking to me turned up to a church, and here was the girl that she'd witnessed to in year 11 and 12, the hardened atheist, she's in church. And she went up to her and started talking with her. And she found out that she'd become a Christian and she'd married a pastor. And she indicated to the lady that it was because of your witness in years 11 and 12 that I'm a Christian. Isn't that incredible? Another older man wanted to tell me his story. And he was pastoring years ago. I figure he was retired now. He looked as though he was probably 85 plus. He was retired. And what they did was that years ago, they started to put out tracts in letterboxes. They were going to start a church. And they put out tracts in letterboxes. And one lady received the tract and rang them up and got in touch with them. And then he and his wife ministered to that lady. He said that one tract in that letterbox of that lady brought forth fruit of 23 people. She became a Christian, then someone else became a Christian as a result of her witness. I think it was in her family. And that one tract was the foundation of the church that he started. You never know what seeds that you sow. You never know what fruit it is going to bring. And you might think, well, I put out a tract and no one's turned up at church or whatever. You just never know what that tract might do. You never know as a schoolgirl or university or at work, if you're a faithful witness amongst unbelievers, you never know the fruit of your witness. And I think it'll be eternity that will reveal the results of our service to the Lord Jesus. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said in Galatians 6 verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Jesus said to his disciples, "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." Here is Luke, and Luke's intentional about telling a man about Jesus. So he writes that long letter in Luke, the book of Luke that we call. And then he writes about Jesus' work through the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And he writes that also to Theophilus. It's estimated that when Luke wrote his gospel, that is the book of Luke, what would have happened was that Luke would have written it on a scroll to Theophilus. And they reckon that the scroll would have been about 25 feet long or around about 7 metres in length. So he took time to write an enormous amount of things so that he would understand, that Theophilus would understand what Jesus had done. And that's incredible that he would take that amount of time writing first about Jesus and then making sure that Theophilus understood what the church was all about, and so then pens the other book, the book of Acts, so that Theophilus might know what the church was all about. We need to take time to look out for Theophiluses. They're everywhere. I came across a Theophilus this morning. Unfortunately, my car, my Hyundai, has started smoking, and it smokes this very black smoke. But it's probably not a bad idea for a smoking car for a pastor on a Sunday, because they can follow the pillar of cloud to the tabernacle if they follow the pastor. But I didn't want to drive it today, so I end up ringing up the NRMA. And the Lord sent this NRMA man, probably a young man in his 30s, and I opened the bonnet and I told him what the problem was, that the car was smoking, the black smoke coming out of it, and then I said there's oil on top of the motor as well. It's not a good sign if you've got oil on top of your motor. And I told him the symptoms, and he put an electric thing that told me what he thought the symptoms were of the car. Hopefully it's not too bad. But as he was fiddling around on the bonnet, I noticed that he had a cross tattooed there. And I took note of that, and years earlier, I was actually on a building site, and there was a guy who had a cross on his arm. And that gave me an opportunity to witness to the guy on the building site, because I said, "Do you know what that means on your arm?" And it was like a Celtic cross, actually. And the guy had no idea on the building site what the cross meant. And so I was able to share with him the meaning of the cross. But the NRMA guy today, I ended up saying, as he was going on his way, I ended up saying, I noticed you got a cross tattooed on your arm there. And he said to me, "Yes, I got that done when I was young." He said, "I was going through a really bad time." And I'm listening to the NRMA man, and he's starting to sort of pour out his heart. And he said, "My dad was an alcoholic. And he said, my mum died when I was 13 years of age. And someone told him to leave your burdens at the cross." So he decided, when he was old enough, at 16, to actually get the cross put on his arm, and he sort of indicated that Christians are a bit funny about tattoos, but he decided to put that on his arm. And then on the other side of his arm, when he was working at the car, I was trying to think, what's that writing? Does that mean, is that faith? And it looked like it was faith in running writing. And he said, "On the other arm, I've got the word faith written." So he's got the cross on one side, the faith on the other. I don't believe that he was a believer, that he understood the Lord Jesus. But I said to him, "You can leave your burdens with Jesus." I gave him one of the wallet tracks, and he thought I was actually giving him a tip, I think, with the money sticking outside. And I gave that to him, and I said, and he opened it up, and I said, "Have a read of that." And he said, "That's good advertising." And he took that tract, and he went to into his NRMA car to go on to other customers. Now, he was my Theophilus this morning in the driveway. And we need to be observant. I observed the simple thing that he had a cross tattooed on his arm, and that was a point of connection that I had with him. And then he was able to tell me how he'd had a very difficult life as a child. Imagine losing your mum at 13 years of age. Some of you may have lost your mum at that age. And your dad being an alcoholic. But someone back then, when he was 13, round about that age, told him that he could leave his burdens at the cross. And so that's why he had the cross tattooed. Lord, give me a Theophilus today. That should be your prayer. Lord, as I go to work next week, Lord, give me a Theophilus, someone that I can share with, someone that I can tell them about Jesus and what Jesus has done for the world and what Jesus has done for me. Proverbs 15 verse 23 says, "A word spoken in due season, how good it is." How good is it, the Bible says. You know, today we're living in a world of uncertainty and people are carrying huge burdens. I wonder how many Christians speak to the NRMA men. You break down, you can say, "Thank the Lord if I'm broken down." It's an opportunity, because I get an opportunity one-to-one to witness to a mechanic about the Lord Jesus. I wonder how many people who are believers that break down actually take the time to see the NRMA man as a Theophilus. May we take the opportunities each and every day. The world is getting darker, but the Christians, we Christians, are to be the light of the world. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Only eternity will reveal the result of the fact of we've gone to our Theophilus and we've spoken to them, or we've written something to them, or sent a positive email to them. Only eternity will reveal the results. We need to be reaching others. You've heard the story of Edward D. Kimball, Sunday school teacher in America in the 1800s. He gets this impression on his mind that, "I need to go and speak to one of my students at the shoe store." The student that he went to speak to, of course, was D.L. Moody. And Mr. Kimball, the Sunday school teacher, says this: I started downtown to Holton's shoe store. When I was nearly there, I began to wonder whether I ought to go just then during business hours. And I thought maybe my mission might embarrass the boy. I found Moody in the back part of the store, wrapping up shoes in paper and putting them on shelves. I made my plea, and I feel that it was really a very weak one. I don't know just what words I used, nor could Mr. Moody tell. I simply told him of Christ's love for him and the love Christ wanted in return. That was all there was of it. I think Mr. Moody said afterward that there were tears in my eyes. So here's a Sunday school teacher. Decides that he'll witness to D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody's working a shoe shop. He's age 17. He was hesitant about going to the shoe store in business hours to talk to him, but he did. He witnessed to him, and Moody became an evangelist, and he travelled through America. He travelled through Britain, and it's estimated that he won over 1 million people to the Lord Jesus through his preaching over a 40-year period. D.L. Moody had some great sayings. He says, we ought to see the face of God every morning before we see the face of man. D.L. Moody said, God doesn't seek for golden vessels and does not ask for silver ones, but he must have clean ones. D.L. Moody said, we are told to let our light shine, and if it does, we won't need to tell anybody it does. Lighthouses don't fire cannons to call attention to their shining. They just shine. Great sayings D.L. Moody had. Here's a timid Sunday school teacher, Mr. Kimball, who sees Moody there as a Theophilus, and D.L. Moody ends up winning about 1 million people to the Lord Jesus. Luke writes down two books for one man, Theophilus, and Luke's work is still being read today. Millions of people right round the world hear the Christmas story each year because Luke took the time to write to Theophilus, and he wrote to him about the birth of Jesus. Luke writes this: when there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. So he's writing to Theophilus what we know is the Christmas story. He's putting down the basics for him so Theophilus might know Jesus as Saviour. He takes the time to write to a man, and what fruit Luke has had throughout the ages. He made an investment in Theophilus, and eternity will reveal the results. You and I are to invest in the life of others. In Acts chapter 1, Luke records the last words of Jesus before he left this earth to return to heaven. And you see that in verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I think too many Christians neglect that command of the Lord Jesus to be witnesses. We can neglect the fact that that's one of our major job descriptions. We are to see that there's a harvest, and we're to go in and invest in the lives of others so that they might come to know Christ as Saviour. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 8, now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. You know, I think it would be good to have four signs over our church, because we've got two entrances there. Actually, we've got four entrances, but let me concentrate on those two up there. They're the main entrances. And I think it'd be good to have an entrance sign as people are coming in to the church that says, "Welcome to missionary training." So you look up there and you see, "Welcome to missionary training." And as you go out, the other sign says on the other side, "Welcome to your mission fields." Welcome to missionary training. Welcome to your mission field, which reminds you every day that you come to church that we are to be missionaries. Luke was a missionary to one person and a missionary to millions of others with the accounts that he wrote in the book of Luke and also in the book of Acts. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days when speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What a wonderful letter he wrote to that man called Theophilus. He wanted to make sure that Theophilus knew that Jesus was the Saviour, but that Jesus didn't just stay in the grave. And Acts chapter 1 there, he wanted to make sure that he knew about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. He also wanted to make sure that he knew about the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Did you know there's around about 13 different appearances of the risen Lord Jesus that are recorded in the New Testament? Around about 13, you can add them up. And how important it is for people to know not only that Jesus died, but Jesus rose from the grave. The hymn writer put it this way: "I serve a risen Saviour. He is in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me now how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Is that your story? Do you know that Jesus lives within your heart by the power of his Holy Spirit? I hope that is your story. And if that's your story, then you need to be looking out for a Theophilus that you can disciple, that you can tell about the Lord Jesus, about his birth, about his life, about his death, about his resurrection, and about his work in the church today. "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen." Lord, give me a Theophilus, or a dozen of them. No, yeah, just don't make your prayer too small. A dozen Theophiluses that I might be able to share between now and the end of the year. Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you used Luke to pick up the pen to write to a man called Theophilus. And it wasn't enough for Luke to just write about the account of the Lord Jesus, of his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, but he wanted to go further and write to Theophilus about how God is working through the early church. And so, Father, we thank you for Luke's letters. And Lord, use us to be a Luke to reach a Theophilus. In Jesus' name, amen.